Gracious God, bless the reading, the hearing, and the interpretation of your holy word this morning, so that we may be people who live in the hope to the glory of your name. Amen. So picture this. Imagine a photojournalist working for a renowned magazine. Let's say she's a person employed with an outfit like National Geographic. And this photojournalist was assigned to shoot one of the great Western forest fires we seem to have every year. Her editor explains to her that a small plane would be waiting at an airstrip nearby the wildfire to take her over the blaze for the best aerial shots. Of course, her connection at the Salt Lake Airport was delayed, and then it took her a while to drive from the rental car lot to the Royal Airstrip, where the small plane the magazine had arranged for her was supposed to be waiting. She arrived at the airstrip just an hour before sundown, and sure enough, the Cessna was waiting with its engine idling. So she quickly jumped in with her equipment and shouted, "Let's go!" And they did. The pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were high aloft in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire where it's the hottest," said the photographer. "Let's make several low-level passes." "Why so close?" asked a clearly nervous pilot. "I want to get the best shots." So now imagine how you would feel at that moment if you were on that plane. I'm not sure which one would be more frightened at that point, the photographer or the pilot. Fear. I understand that some fear is a natural and normal part of life. We feel fear, our body releases norepinephrine and other hormones, and at that point, your body is biologically hardwired to increase blood flow to the brain and lungs in order to maximize your flight or fight abilities. We've all felt it. Everyone is afraid sometimes. It's part of being who we are as human. While some of the fears that we experience in our modern society are still good and necessary for our survival as a species, there is this low-grade gnawing anxiety felt every day by so many of our family members, friends, neighbors, many of us. Yesterday was Juneteenth. Today we celebrate the final emancipation of enslaved people from the Confederacy. Can you imagine the fear felt by slaves during the war that they wondered what devastation might become of their lives, even as they simultaneously hoped for liberty? Can you imagine the many fears that beset the newly freed enslaved people as they wondered if they could make a living and then realized that the only way they could was to continue working for the former slave owners, who by now were feeling furious, embittered, and fearful themselves? Can you imagine how the former slaves are thrilled with the hope of being united with their families torn from them, yet paralyzed by the thought that their sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers have died in a far-off place, and they don't know it or even know how to find out about it? Juneteenth is a great day of celebration, but it also marks a time of new fears. Blacks today still have fears for themselves, their children, and their community's future that I, as a person of white privilege, can't fully understand. And we pray and we preach and we work and we serve for an end of those fears across our land. And then some of us experience fear and anxiety in situations. While some of us are biologically wired from our birth to fear for no other reason. We're not taught it. We don't want it. It's just how our minds are wired. And in response, such a large and receptive consumer base, the anti-anxiety pharmaceutical industry has blossomed to become a mega multi-million dollar business and have produced prescription medications so common the names are now known to most of us. Valium, Ativan, Xanax, Lorazepam. We've heard of these names before, of course. Regardless, there are some people that I have to admit are much smarter than I, and by the grace of God, create medical solutions that make my life as a whole a lot fuller. I am a more productive person because of the medication that I take for my attention deficit disorder and therefore anxiety. And I by no means mean to suggest that addressing our mental health through medications and therapy isn't faithful. It is. But yet we also recognize that there are some societal and systemic fears that no amount of medication could ever treat. In our gospel passage today, the terrified disciples in the storm-tossed boat confronted Jesus and challenged him, saying, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Then, after calming the wind and the waves, Jesus asks in reply, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" The overarching theme of this week's gospel text gives me a reassurance that God is present and caring in our lives. Yet, I confess, when I place myself in that boat and I recognize I don't have the little blow-up floaties on my arms, and I fear that I'm about to drown and die, and then I look over at Jesus napping on his cushion, I would get a little demanding too, I think. I'm terrified. I'm fearful. While grateful that the wind is suddenly calmed, I have no doubt in that moment I would be taken aback over being drilled about my faith. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Jesus asks. Well, in fairness, Jesus, I'm about to die. At least I fear that I'm about to die. And you are sleeping. Is it really so unreasonable to wake you up? In the course of being tossed to and fro by the storm, Jesus' disciples make a colossally wrong presumption. Their assumption is incorrect. They assume that Jesus must not care about them anymore because they are caught in this dangerous situation. They were afraid that they were about to meet their Maker and that Jesus could not care less. But in truth, nothing can be farther from the truth. When I encounter a piece of scripture that challenges me or just rubs me the wrong way, I find myself reading and rereading the text, and that's when I realize that throughout the whole ordeal, Jesus was in the boat the entire time. Despite the fact that us folks who are fully human were freaking out, the one who is fully human and fully divine never left the boat. Cushion or no cushion. So if we reread Jesus' response, not as a backhanded remark, but as an invitation to trust God enough, then God will be there with us through those times when we are the most fearful. Trusting that God will deliver us from fear is to recognize that God loves us regardless of who we are and what we have become. Fear not, the Apostle Paul teaches in his letter to the church in Rome. For when God is for you, who or what can be against you? The black church has a good awareness of this. In the great hymn, "Lift Every Voice and Sing" by James Weldon Johnson, often called the Black National Anthem, the second half of the second verse goes like this, and I will read it. "We have come over a way with tears that have been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our brightest star is cast. From death to life, from darkness to light, from tears to joy, from fear to peace. That is the moment of the ministry of our God. It is the theme of Lift Every Voice and Sing. It is recognized in the celebration of Juneteenth. It is recognized in our celebration this morning. So friends, fellow children of God, fellow human beings, let us trust God to guide us. For who or what will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Will it be any power or principality? Will it be hardships or life or death itself? Will it be a plague? No. Nothing in heaven or on earth, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Fear not. Have faith in the faithfulness of God. And may be all the glory to our triune God who rules not just the wind and the waves, but also our lives in both life and death, in the histories of the peoples of the earth, today and forever. Amen.